Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Arthur Goldwag, an author whose books include The Belief Net Guide to Kabbalah, Isms and Ologies, Cults, Conspiracies and Secret Societies. And his latest book is The New Hate, A History of Fear and Loathing on the Populist Right. And he has an article in The Washington Spectator, Alex Jones's Weather Weapons. Welcome to Background Briefing, Arthur Goldwag.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
And Alex Jones, of course, I guess he came to a lot of people's attention on Piers Morgan's program just after the Newtown massacre of the school children screaming about coming after our guns. And what I find extraordinary about this guy is that Jones is somebody that was a follower of David Koresh, the Waco nutcase who went up in a blaze of glory. And he is a follower. I believe the seminal moment in his life was reading the biography of the founder of the John Birch Society. One of his favorite guests on his radio program is Rand Paul, who comes out of that same background. And yet a lot of people on the left follow him. I mean, he's the guy that produced the movies about 9/11, Loose Change, that Pacifica Radio have been selling for decades.
Well, Alex Jones really and truly did predict 9/11. He I don't know if you've ever seen the broadcast, but I think it was in July of 2011. He was talking about how there's going to be a false flag and there's going to be a terrible disaster. The government's going to use it to steal our liberties, to increase the police state. And he was saying, you know, they'll find a patsy, and I think the patsy is going to be this guy, Osama bin Laden. And it was, you know, within a month, 9/11 happened. Within a month, Osama bin Laden was accused. And that's kind of where 9/11 truth has its origins, except that the fact that Alex Jones had always been talking about patsies and false flags, and the fact that Osama bin Laden was a name that was very much in the air and was a terrorist who was out to get America, you know, the fact that he predicted it doesn't mean it's true, but it was a golden moment for him. And he's tried to recreate it and tried to recreate it. And, you know, when the terrible event happened in Connecticut, the school shooting, he was very quick to say that it was a false flag, because that's what he says. The government did it. The government did it to steal our liberty. And he got a tremendous amount of attention going on TV and saying, look, you're really going to steal our liberty. He's always said stuff like this. He's been very consistent. With the Boston Marathon bombing, I was sitting at my computer when the word came out that there had been an explosion, and the first thing I did was turn to Alex Jones to see what he would say, and of course he said it was a false flag. Mm-hmm. It's what he does. It's what he says.
So you're saying, Arthur Goldwag, that this is in the category of a broken watch is right twice a day?
That's exactly what it's in the category of. But it attracts people because it's also in the category of, I don't trust our government. And, you know, why should you trust our government? There's all kinds of reasons not to trust our government. And when you accuse somebody of being a conspiracy theorist, as I often do in my line of work, the answer that the accused conspiracy theorist shoots back is, so you believe everything you're told, you believe every story that the government tells? And the answer is no. But what a conspiracy theorist does, a conspiracy theorist describes themselves as a skeptic. But in fact, conspiracy theorists have all the answers. And that's the classic thing that makes Alex Jones a conspiracy theory. There's never any doubt. While the explosion is still reverberating in Boston, he knew that whatever the government was going to say it was, it wasn't, and he knew the reason they were going to do it. And the first reason he gave was because the price of gold was falling, and they wanted to distract from that. The tornado in Moore, Oklahoma, the conspiracy theorist response is the government must have made this happen to distract people from the Obama scandals. There's always a story. There's always a narrative. And that, again, that's classic conspiracy theory as opposed to classic conspiracy. What I hate about this is that it kind of cuts off all questioning. And I think it was Noam Chomsky who, when he was talking about 9/11 truth, where he said, you know, the problem with so much of this stuff is that it hides much bigger scandals. People spend so much time arguing about building number 7 that they overlook the war that was declared on very unsound grounds, very unfactual grounds. It was pushed through propaganda, but the conspiracy theorist wants the story to be that the war was already on the table before the buildings fell.
Well, we
know who did it. We know why.
Well, curiously enough, Arthur Goldwag, I've spoken a number of times to somebody that actually was in the White House and was the chief of staff to Colin Powell, Secretary of State in the Bush White House. And he says, basically, in terms of these conspiracy theories, particularly the 9/11 ones, that they actually help Bush and Cheney, because the real crime is that Bush and Cheney are guilty of reckless endangerment of the United States. And then when 9/11 happened, Cheney went AWOL, so did Rumsfeld. And most of what he's been saying about ordering the shoot down of the plane in Pennsylvania is a lie, apparently. Cheney, literally, they couldn't find him, which I find extraordinary. And that's the great irony, that the conspiracy theorists may have the answers, but they never provide any evidence. You know, I'd be the first person to report it because
they have a narrative, and conspiracy theory is about narrative. It's not about investigation. It's about a story. And I, in my writing, I always say it has a lot in common with theology, and it has a lot in common with religiosity. And if you want to kind of understand what drives some of these people, it helps to look at religious fundamentalism, and you get a lot of the I mean, what I'm saying, it's going to infuriate lots of listeners, I know, and they're going to say, well, of course Goldwag would say that, he's a shill. But you know what I insist is that I have a much more open mind than the conspiracist does. The conspiracist claims that they're rejecting all sorts of received stories and they're doing their own investigations. But what they're actually doing is telling a very old story that's been told for hundreds and hundreds of years about a conspiracy to destroy the state. And in doing that, they're overlooking all kinds of terrible real-life conspiracies that are right under their noses.
So, again, I'm speaking with Arthur Goldwag, an author whose books include The Belief Net Guide to Kabbalah, Isms and Ologies, Cults, Conspiracies and Secret Societies, and his latest book is The New Hate, A History of Fear and Loathing on the Populist Right. And he has an article in The Washington Spectator, Alex Jones's Weather Weapons. And just to finish up on Alex Jones, who, you know, that's what I find extraordinary, is that he's a right-winger, but a lot of people who think they're on the left buy into his crazy stuff. But he's being promoted in a curious way by Matt Drudge, who's been getting Jones's ideas into the mainstream about Obama's forged birth certificate, Andrew Breitbart's assassination, the Aurora shooters, James Holmes' CIA mind control programming, and false flag attacks in Newtown and Boston. I'm just quoting from your article here, but this is all on the record. And then now you've got Rachel Maddow talking about the Moore, Oklahoma tornado. Maybe that was a secret weather weapon from Alex Jones. But she, of course, is being satirical. But a serious United States Senator, Rand Paul, appears regularly on his radio show. So what's his connection to Jones?
Well, Rand Paul Paul's father was a regular guest on Alex Jones. You know, they're both out there in Texas. They're both libertarians. They're both extreme right-wing libertarians, but libertarians. They're both pro-guns. They both have an attraction to John Birch Society ideas. And Rand Paul is, he's keeping up his brand in a big way. It's a dangerous game because, you know, Rand Paul is really hoping that he will have a chance to make it in mainstream politics, but he also has to go back and tell his base that he's still really with them.
But he's also able to beguile a lot of people on the left who think that because he's against the Iraq war and in favor of smoking pot, that he's one of them.
Well, you know, I don't know what the analogy with the stop clock twice a day, but, you know, conservatives do have some good ideas, and not fighting an illegal war is one of them. I was with Ron Paul on that. Legalizing drugs, I'm with Ron Paul on that. There's a lot of good things. There's a lot of bad things, too. And again, politics doesn't give you an easy narrative. Politicking is all about easy narratives, and it's why, you know, a lot of politicians, they use the themes of conspiracy theory to bring people onto their side. And the Republican Party over the last few years, one of the really big ones is the anti-UN Agenda 21 conspiracy theory, which not that many people know about outside of a very far right-wing world, but state legislature after state legislature has passed resolutions not to enact any Agenda 21 legislation. And what Agenda 21 is the UN, it's the UN directions for sustainable development. And it's a completely voluntary thing, but it was the programs in it are things like wetland reclamation. And what the John Birch Society said, you might have heard about Ted Cruz when he was running in Texas saying that they want to ban golf courses. He was referring to Agenda 21. And what they turn it into is, you know, these green people, it's a cover for stealing our liberties, stealing our land, forcing us to live in cities, forcing us to have abortions like they do in China so that we can only have a certain number of children. It's conspiracy theory. It's also incredibly far right-wing conspiracy theory.
But it sounds like it has a purpose, Arthur Goldwag. And given that the Koch brothers' fathers was one of the founders of the John Birch Society, and that these anti-environmental ideas that Agenda 21 encompasses are all in the service of the anti-environmental movement that the Koch brothers are investing enormously in. That's what they're about. They don't want government regulation on their pipelines and on their oil fields and on their oil processing and refining.
And they don't want anyone to believe that there's such a thing as global warming. Mm-hmm. So there is a real conspiracy to make people think that the scientific consensus about global warming is a conspiracy. It's kind of crazy. Mm. It's so twisted you'd think somebody made it up. They don't like cities either. They like suburbs. Suburbs use a lot more power. So the Koch brothers have urbanists writing articles about how cities are bad places or cities are declining places. And they've built think tanks that maintain that. There is a real agenda on the right, and I think a lot of would-be leftists are fooled by it. They're fooled by the radical surface. And they buy into what looks like it looks all transgressive and independent minded and all questioning, and then unbeknownst to them. So actually, this going back to Ron Paul, when Anonymous Anonymous cracked a white supremacist political party, the Third Position, and they cracked their website, and they made a lot of emails available. And one of the amazing emails was how we've captured Cynthia Sheehan. Is that her name? The Iraq war protester?
Cindy Sheehan.
Cindy, yeah. Mm-hmm. We've captured her. If we can bring these people over to Ron Paul and into Ron Paul's movement, then we'll have their numbers, and that will help us enact our white supremacist ideas. Mm. And it was laid out in as strategy just right there. And it's sad in a way because a lot of the would-be radicals, would-be anarchists that are caught up in this stuff are serving a very right-wing agenda and they don't even know it. But that's often how it's worked. It's throughout history, it's often worked that way. And you have to be very, very careful of any political movement that gives you a villain, that gives you if there's a them, if it talks a lot about elites, these are all like signs that you're getting into the dangerous waters of right-wing populism, which often looks like left-wing.
Well, Arthur Goldwag, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Again, I mean, speaking with Arthur Goldwag, who's an author whose books include The Belief Net Guide to Kabbalah, Isms and Ologies, Cults, Conspiracies, and Secret Societies. And his latest book is The New Hate, A History of Fear and Loathing on the Populist Right. He also has an article in The Washington Spectator, Alex Jones's Weather Weapons. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back talking about a new economic movement going on under the radar.